You do it live. You do it live. You do it live. You do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor?
That's the theme song.
Neighbor and friend.
Yay, we did it. Yes, we can. Yeah, that's a weird way to say my name. Welcome to the You, Me, Them, Everybody. It's a talk show, so we're going to talk on microphones. I was so afraid to come to New York City the first time I came here. I thought it was like a very special and scary place. It's not. It's not a bad place. It's just a place. I didn't really travel a lot as a kid, actually, ever. But I do have a traveling tip for those of you that take the bus every now and then. It's kind of risky, and only do it if you're confident in your own self. I accidentally rode here on a megabus for 5 hours with my fly all the way down, which was very good because the bus was full and there was like 3 open seats. And I was like, I'm definitely not the most overweight. I definitely don't have the most blanket acne. I don't smell poorly. Why is no one sitting next to me? I was not complaining. I did have a stack of 10 back issues of Time Out Chicago. By the way, this is a trip from D.C. to New York, so that didn't make any sense. But I realized when I left the apartment, my fly was all the way down, but I couldn't tell because I had a shirt that like went over it, and I had a handkerchief in my breast pocket, so I just looked like a dandy consistently jacking off. Like, I needed access at all times, and I wanted to air out on the bus, and it really worked, and I highly recommend that. But as a child, I was told I shouldn't travel anywhere. I grew up 10 minutes outside of Chicago, directly west, which, if you've never been, is essentially the New Jersey of Chicago. We were white trash. I didn't know that until my fiance asked me, did the people at the mall look like 1989? And the answer was yes. They still had teased hair and white jeans. Who buys white jeans? So that's the childhood I came from. We never went to the city proper. We went to the malls directly west. And the way we got to those malls was not really a route based on ease or gas, mileage, things like that. No, we got there based on the food markers. So this is next to this Burger King. This is next to this Taco Bell. So whenever a Taco Bell would close, we no longer went to said mall. And that's true and sad. My mother still bases things around fast food, which is awful. And that's why I'm on stage at 1 a.m. But yeah, we're starting the show really fucking late. 1 a.m. at Pete's Candy Store because my mother doesn't know how to follow directions. We did go to Florida a few times, once when I was 3, and I have absolutely no memories of that because I was 3, and you shouldn't waste a vacation on a 3-year-old, and once when I was 6, and the only memory I have of that is my mother crying in the hotel because the hotel wasn't up to snuff. Here's a lesson to potential parents. Kids aren't a gift. Kids are an accident. Don't breed and then bring them to Florida and cry. I always thought that you had to be, like, really rich or Jewish or well-connected to live in New York, and I based all that on Woody Allen films. Or, like, super poor, which I based that on reality. But that's not true. Everyone is in New York City, for better or worse. I wish there were less people here. I forget the unique smell of New York City every summer when I visit. Move, people. It's not worth it. At least, like, summer away from New York City. It's not a very good place to spend any amount of time. I shouldn't be shitting on New York City. I've actually come to the realization that we're all living in second grade. And that's not a bad thing. Wait, there's a woman out there that thinks something. We need to listen to her. Very in-depth opinions right now. I understand the irony of me forcing you to watch me with an amplified voice and me judging other people having a very fine time. I understand that. It's very dumb. No, but we're all just in second grade. Explain cupcake shops if we're not in second grade. Every goddamn place in this goddamn country. I gotta stop saying goddamn. It's losing all power. It's a weird thing. Like, why are there dimly lit restaurants? Because we need nap time. That's it. That's all it is. There's nothing that fancy. Cumming is the same in Kentucky as it is in New York. Prove me wrong, anyone ever. How are you doing, Eli? Fantastic. Don't talk until you're on a microphone. On the way here. That was mean. I'm sorry. Very Jay Leno-like, wasn't it? Yep, it was exactly like Leno. How did he get a job, really? Who thought denim was a good idea? Like, we need to get that guy on TV today. Oh, and let's keep that going for 25 fucking years. On the way here on the G train, which took me an hour and a half to go 10 stops. Yeah, local humor. Local humor. I saw two very white people, singing to another very white person a very, very familiar song. And it was a song that I associated with the suburbs, specifically, how could I describe this? Males in their early teens pining over a woman. And they sang this song with much gusto, very glee-like. And that's when I realized anyone could live here. Anyone could live anywhere, and we're all really the same. We all love the exact same things we did at 14, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So on that note, I'm going to play a little bit of that song, and we're going to do a talk show. And we have fantastic guests tonight. We have Ned Hepburn. Please clap for Ned Hepburn. Yay! That's Ned! We have Eli Sars, whose name I already mispronounced. Yay for Eli! Yay! And closing out the evening, we have music from Allison Clancy. Please clap from Allison Clancy. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is some Weezer that I heard earlier this evening.
Did anyone else notice there's like a fucking 10 seconds I could just gotta cut out of that?
Nope, I decided not to. Let's just stick with professionalism. You heard me.
You, Me, Them, Everybody presents Sábado Gigante, Saturday, June 25th. We're throwing a party, and we're bringing back all our favorite guests. Broadcasting from Esmeralda's house, a show so gigante, we're going 10 hours. Don't miss Sábado Gigante, Saturday, June 25th. For more details, check out youmethemeverybody.com.
Why would she want to know about his birthday if those facts are readily available on the internet? Rivers, bad songwriter. It wasn't before the internet. It was 96. There was Prodigy, the band Prodigy. Coming to the stage, he's an old friend of mine, and he started one of my films, and that's not a joke. He's a troubadour, a raconteur, some might say. I've hated and loved this man for the past 5 years, roughly. Coming to the stage, please put your hands together, everybody, for Ned Hepburn, everybody. Ned Hepburn. Here's some Weezer. Ned.
I like how Weezer was my opening music.
Why is that bad?
I've never done a talk show before, and I just always wondered what my opening music would ever be.
It'd be Across
the Sea.
And it was
fucking Weezer.
It's specifically the song about...
On Pinkerton.
Almost raping a woman. She's 18, she's in Japan, he's 30. Yep, that's almost rape. Ned, have you almost raped? First question, let's
great,
go.
Great fucking intro, Brandon.
What? Ned, let's not describe anything. Let's talk about how we know each other. Jesus Christ, we have a story, Ned.
We
do have a story.
We do.
I used to book a music festival, and Ned used to be a DJ.
I did.
Why don't you DJ anymore?
I still do.
Do you really?
Somewhat, but it's become very, very secretive.
You sound like a dick.
Yeah.
Speaking of being a dick...
You invited me up here. I'm a dick.
You used to work for a very famous friendship-type internet service.
Some might say it's called MySpace.
You worked for MySpace.
I still do until about next week.
How is that going?
Beer. How is MySpace?
It's like
working for the concept of sadness and failure, really, right now.
I feel like that's a very accurate description. I met you in Chicago.
I did.
We didn't know each other until you almost left Chicago.
True.
You came to Chicago to be an actor.
I did?
You did.
I came to Chicago to go to school.
For what?
Acting.
Okay. You are a piece of shit right now.
Thanks, Brandon.
Not a problem. Do you still want to act?
Technically speaking.
What does that even mean? You know you sound like an actor because you sound like a...
Sort of. I've known you for so long, I feel I can fuck with you.
You can fuck with me. It's very, very sad.
Most people come up here with a sense of fear and a sense of endangerment, and I'm coming up here with a sense of entitlement that I am actually up here.
It's great.
So it's all good.
I like it.
Everybody in this room.
You realize you don't need to have the microphone close to your mouth at all. You'd rather just have feedback for everyone. It's much better that way.
How do?
I'll hold the microphone about a foot under my chin. Maybe that'll work better. Is that working for you, Ned? That's, yeah, are you doing? You know, you're doing visual gags on an audio podcast. It's going to
totally
play
works.
Really well. You seem like you were never a big fan of Weezer unless you were serenading it to a lady.
No, I really did like Weezer, and is this how it goes?
Yes, okay. That's how microphones work.
Thanks, Roy. it's called the work. What was the original question?
Weezer, did you ever like Weezer?
I did. I liked up until what was the third album?
Green Album.
I was supposed to see them on 9/11.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you never forget to see them, Weezer, on 9/11? See, that's a topical
joke. That's your joke.
That's my joke.
That is. That's
We're doing a 9/11 tribute show next year, the 10-year anniversary.
We are, or you are?
But you're going to be on the show.
Awesome.
You're DJing the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're going to DJ the
that's
show.
It's going to be insane.
It's not going to be insane.
Definitely.
Ned.
MySpace, Weezer, what else?
MySpace, Weezer. Let's go back even further. Motley Crue.
Yeah, I work for Motley Crue right now.
How does one get a job working for Motley Crue?
I got fired from MTV and went to a bar, and a friend of mine was like, my friend just quit. Would you like to work for this company? And I didn't know what the company...
What's the name of the company? Could you say it?
Could I honestly...
You don't have to.
It's called Apex Exposure is like the actual name of the company that actually
Are
hired.
Either of those words spelled
it's a,
correctly?
It's a temp job. It's like a contract kind of a gig. I'm actually working for Motley Crue.
What does that mean? What does Motley Crue need people to do in offices other than secure drugs?
Like do PR for their fucking tour. It's like the strangest thing.
Why
do
they need PR?
Because they're Motley Crue.
They exactly.
Can't do it themselves.
They're Motley Crue. I need PR.
You do. I could work for you.
Okay, good.
You have to pay me a lot of money.
No.
One money. Two monies. Pay me two monies, Brandon.
You're not a good stand-up. Are you glad you said yes to doing this?
No.
Fantastic.
I'm like anyone here.
Let's go through the story of Ned and I.
I like those guys.
Stop liking people. It's getting weird.
Fuck your face.
Go on. Fuck my face is not going to help anyone ever. It's never helped any lady. They fuck faces. My face.
Yeah.
MySpace. Yay! You like that, Leno? Fuck you. All right. So, Ned, you wanted to be an actor.
Apparently.
I actually cast you in one of my films when you were visiting from L.A., when you were living in L.A., and we filmed this. It was supposed to be a 5-act, 30-minute short film, and it turned into a 1-act, 14-minute tribute to drinking.
This is true. You bought us so many drinks.
We started
and then,
filming.
And no, here's the thing. I just want to tell everyone that's listening and or in this room, is that Brandon was like, this is a thing about drinking. This is a movie about drinking, and I'm going to buy you guys drinks. And then when everyone in the cast started drinking, he got very upset with us for actually drinking.
Yes.
Because we're all, I don't know, stupid. Because we keep doing these same takes while drinking. So the fifth take of every fucking thing was just like us literally talking vowels to one another. It was batshit.
I cast a construction worker, an actor, a doctor, and a stand-up comedian to play normal dudes.
This is true.
That happened. It took 18 months to finish.
It did.
It's not a joke.
You did take a 17-month break.
No. That's not. Sadly, that's not true. The reason why we didn't film the other 4X is because I got swine flu. But I was doing the podcast at that point, and Ned was like, "I'm in town." I'm like,
"Can I tell you a really quick joke, real quick?" It's not my joke, but I think it's worth it right now. Did you know they're coming out with a sequel? It's not my joke. I just want to say it again. Did you hear that they're coming out with a sequel to Made in Manhattan, starring Jennifer Lopez?
Yes.
It's called Full Blown Maids.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
That's all I need. One guy left.
The problem is it's Raped in Manhattan would be more appropriate because she was raped by the president of the IMF.
Two rape jokes in one segment. How is that working for you?
Not really a segment. It's more of an art piece. It's
technically,
I saw a fucking play last night, and it was supposed to be a play, but it turned into performance art.
How cultured? How was that?
It was awful. It felt like a Tool video without any of the cool 7/4 time signatures.
Ooh,
it was painful. I've never felt more angry at the arts. So we do the. Ned wanted to do the podcast against my better judgment. So we did the podcast.
Thanks for that.
And about a month later, he is the first and only guest to then ask me, hey, could you pull that down from the site?
This is true.
Why?
Because everything that I talked about didn't happen.
What did you talk about? Let's talk about it now.
I talked about I had a book coming out that never came out because I blew up at my agent because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you're you're an idiot. What? How did you get that site? How did you get the site? How did you get the book deal? You had a website. Do you want to talk about this?
Sure.
Do you still do it?
No.
Exactly.
Can we go back and tell the full story?
Nope.
No?
We are time constrained.
Jesus fucking Christ.
We only have a 3-hour show that started at 1 a.m. Okay. Let's go. Don't go long, Ned.
Do you want me to tell the story?
You hurry up.
I was working at a fast food place in L.A., and I'd go back and smoke a lot of marijuana. And the site that I was doing when I was smoking a lot of marijuana got sort of popular, and people gave me jobs.
Are you
going
to tell people the site?
It was called Boner Party.
Yeah, BonerParty.tumblr.com.
Back in the day. Back in the day. That was fun.
Did you ever branch out to do .uk? That was stupid. Continue.
What?
Nothing.
Was a joke?
Go
was
ahead.
Joke?
It wasn't really good. I regretted it.
What was the actual question, Brandon?
Did you ever decide to go global and have .uk as
no,
well?
I didn't. All right.
That was stupid. Continue.
Continue from where?
You were working fast food.
You're like the joke assassin, dude. Seriously.
Yeah. I'm the joke assassin.
You are.
Can I just not do a staring contest because it's an audio show?
No, I think it might work.
It might.
I think it might work.
It might work. I'm just going to
insult
conceptual.
You.
Could you fucking finish, please?
What was the story?
I don't know. You brought it up, Smokey. Smokey, since you were being
high all the time. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was doing that, and I got jobs because of it. But we were going to lead to a point, but that's what I was doing.
What point were you trying to lead to?
I don't know. You brought it up.
You brought it up.
This is like me and Brandon's actual relationship for everyone watching.
I love Ned because out of anyone I know, Ned is the only person I don't have to like ever wonder, like, is Ned going to make it? Because the answer is possibly.
What did you say? I wasn't
you
listening.
It wouldn't shock me tomorrow if you were a VJ or homeless or both.
Here's the thing. I did a VJ show for MySpace.
See?
Like, I pitched it for no reason because I was sitting in front of these people at the company, and I said, like, how about I do a VJ show? And because they're all, my contract's ending in like 3 days anyway. They're crazy people. They're terrible. It's a bunch of jackals there. Jackals, I tell you.
Jackal with a Y?
Yeah,
sorry,
jackals.
Sorry.
And they actually gave me this thing, which actually paid my rent for a few months.
Eli is regretting saying yes to the show. You can tell it on his face.
It's so much fun when you get up here and Brandon. It's just like a cheese grater. It's so good. Really cool.
Are you lactose intolerant?
No, but I don't like cheese.
Why?
Because I think it's the way I don't like putting rotten things in my body. Technically, it's rotten milk. It's the one thing Keith Richards won't
put in
his body.
I want to make so many jokes about the women you've dated.
Really?
That's sexist.
That is sexist.
I should make jokes about your dick to them and face fucking, like you mentioned earlier.
This is true.
Yep.
Keep going.
Okay. I love Ned. I don't know what's going to happen to you, buddy. I really,
really
don't. No, I have no idea. Like, you could be
this is like a fucking nightmare. I'm answering questions about what's going to happen to me in front of a group of people I don't
know. Do you
know.
Go to a therapist?
No.
Now
it's like
have.
This. I'll just do this once a month.
All right.
Okay.
You want to come back next month?
Sure.
Fantastic. We'll continue therapy then. But without further ado, I need you to answer a question from the kids' book of questions.
That's the end of it already?
I think we've done enough.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
We need you to pick a number between 160 and 238.
237.
We're retiring the book this year, so Ned gets to keep a memento. 237. If some friends of your parents served you some food that you thought tasted disgusting and then asked you how you liked it, what would you say? Would your parents want you to tell the truth?
What would I say if they said that they served me disgusting food?
Yeah.
I'd tell them that it was mildly disgusting. I'd have to go somewhere halfway. I'd be like, okay, this is okay. Why am I doing a ringing thing?
Because you're not talented.
I'm trying to be fucking professional now.
Would your parents
Jesus Christ.
Want you to tell the truth?
Give me more drink tickets. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You got good parents.
That's a barrel of fun.
Let's plug some stuff. When's Motley Crue coming to town?
they're doing a tour all summer, everybody.
What's it called?
I don't know, actually. I
think it's called the Carnival of Mayhem.
No, they're playing with, like, what's it, Poison and, what's the other band? New York Dolls.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's kind of a weird
That
lineup.
Is a weird bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you think, like, oh, the New York Dolls, they're a famous punk band, think of hot, 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 and everything just leaves your mind.
Sure.
Same Buster, buddy.
Buster.
Poindexter.
Buster Poindexter.
I call him a dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you, you're on Twitter. Did you follow the movies you'd call your dick or something like that?
I did.
What did you say?
Bit. Big was the easiest one to do.
You did Big.
Free Willy was hilarious as well.
I had a few. I had 1991, The Year Punk Broke.
Nice.
Yeah.
End of Western Civilization Part 2.
That's good.
Definitely. Twitter jokes IRL are hilarious. By the way.
And I really wanted to do The Quick and the Damned.
Good point.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I come fast. Because it's quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Rudy.
Comedy, ladies and gentlemen.
Small and Irish.
This is great. This is like Hedwig and the Angry Inch right now. This is amazing.
All right. Yeah, that's it.
It's a car wash, ladies and gentlemen. A car wash.
Car wash is also a name.
We do like each other. It's just kind of like a big act, everybody.
No, it's not.
Is it?
I hope you die of murder.
Oh, what if I do?
But you'll be like 98 degrees. Sorry. I don't know. What the hell? Nick Lachey, holy fuck, what a bod. He looks great.
Nick Lachey?
Yeah.
He did, was he married to Jessica Simpson?
He was.
He's a dreamboat.
He is a dreamboat.
This is truly a dreamboat.
One day you'll learn how to use a microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Nev Hedberman. Here's some Weezer.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry, so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
What I like about doing a show in Williamsburg is no one will admit to liking that record outside, and also no one will smile because they hate fun. Coming to the stage, one of DC's finest, and that's why he left. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Eli Sours, everybody. Eli, yeah!
Well, here we are, dudes. Two people just left. It's a quarter of the goddamn audience, but that's all right. That's all right. We're gonna do what we can here. I'm glad to be here. I tell you what, it's a little bit late, and we're all adults. I mean, I know you're probably a little bit tired. We started a little bit late. It's already like what 9:30 p.m. or something here. So, but we're adults. It's late. I'm gonna talk about sex. That's okay, guys. Respond for the love of God. All right, here we go. Let's talk about sex. You guys ever have sex? Okay, I have, guys, and sex is really cool, trust me, but sex would have happened earlier this week, but tell me if you've ever heard this stupid excuse for not having sex. It was so dumb. The excuse was, I would have sex with you, but I'm on my period. And fuck that. I would, but I'm on my period, is the dumbest fucking excuse. I fucking cannot believe she bought it. It is ridiculous. Anyone would fall for that. Shit. Call people Nazis too much, and I don't have segues. You ever do that? Call a group of people like just a bunch of Nazis? Gotta cut that out. I'll call people Nazis over the most trivial shit. I'll be like, what? I get a ticket for having expired license plates? What is this, Nazi Germany? This is an overstatement, and I'll prove it, because picture the exact inverse of that situation. Picture, like, a Jewish guy in 1942, like, oh my god, you just killed my entire family in front of my very eyes. What is this, the Hoboken DMV? What is this? I hope the mic, for the listeners at home, I hope the crowd is mic'd enough. Like, I hope all 70 of you are mic'd enough so that you can get the experience. Like, trust me, there's laughter. Oh, there's a shit ton of laughter here. It's fucking good. One-liners is what you like, I'll bet. These guys were talking shit to me on the way over here. I don't care if they were talking shit, because sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Unfortunately, their words were, hey, let's beat this faggot with some sticks and stones. It's a bad word, I'm sorry. I'm actually allowed to use the word faggot because my cousin is a bigot, so it just kind of works out for me. Hey, my mom thinks I turned out bad just because I go to AA meetings to heckle her. Last night I walked a girl home. It got a little bit awkward at one point, though, because she turned around and found out I was walking her home. So it was a little bit weird. Hey, do you guys know that if you sync up Dark Side of the Moon with The Wizard of Oz, they're both still kind of overrated? Did you know that? I think the book 1984 has lost a lot of its power because we're way past 1984. I feel like you should have called it Next March. And I don't like the double standard in society that if a woman says she has a lot of sex, she's a whore. But if, like, I say I have a lot of sex, I'm full of shit. That's not fair. That's not fucking fair, is it? I'm coming to terms with some things. Like, I'm coming to terms with the fact that I don't have the build to be an NFL player. I'm too small to sexually assault anybody. Yeah, suck it, Roethlisberger. Here we go. Hey, there's a new drinking game, guys. You watch the Cleveland show and drink until you die. Basically. Well, you all fucking love the Cleveland show? Jesus Christ. Is it? It's not, but okay. Okay. I'll adapt to the audience and say, yeah, I love the Cleveland show. Great shit. Here we go. A lot of people, no, speaking of, is it, like, I don't want to get all edgy and shit. Is it racist that I used to think that Queen Latifah and Star Jones were the same person, and the person that I thought they both were was Sidney Poitier? Is that racist? Moving on. My girlfriend said, you treat our relationship like it's some kind of game. I'm like, no. Now, hand me that candlestick and come with me into the conservatory. How concerned I am about global warming depends on how female the pamphlet giver is. This is going kind of okay, right, guys? This is going kind of okay. Energy dipped for a second. Guy said something weird in the back, but whatever. We're gonna recover. I was watching. I was kicking it watching Indiana Jones Part 3 the other day, and the guy was explaining to Indy all about the Holy Grail and its powers. And Indy was all like, "Yeah, I don't really believe in all that superstitious fantasy stuff." Really, Indy? Did you miss Indiana Jones Parts 1 and 2? When you fought ghosts on an underground roller coaster. Remember that shit? Indy? You fuck. I just added that to have time to look at my thing here. You guys like video games? Like old school shit? NES? I feel like you can be a grumpy old man about like music with like these kids today with their blah, blah. I'm that way about video games because the new ones are way too complicated for me. I tried to play Call of Duty 4 or some shit like that. It was so fucking complicated. Like, the mission was you had to go over here and deactivate this bomb while dealing with this hostage situation over here and blah, blah. Like, I miss games that were just simple, straight to the point. Like, fucking Bad Dudes. First thing on the screen, the president has been kidnapped by ninjas. I'm fucking on it. Start. Like, fucking right to the point. You're not a regular toad. You're a battle toad. Start punching shit. Like, stuff like that. There. Things like that. God, I'm going so fucking fast. It's been like 45 seconds, hasn't it?
Yep.
Something like that. All right. All right, guys, I'm doing a tight 23. It's okay. Here we go. All right, we're going to get fucking edgy in here. This is about racial slurs. I feel kind of weird even saying this because a lot of people have this opinion, but I'm kind of really believe, I'm one of those guys that believes that racial slurs are terrible, but the only thing that gives a racial slur its power is the fact that we never say them. Like, I really believe we need to just, like, to get rid of racial slurs, we need to all just fucking man up and say the word. Like, no word should be off limits. We need to stop being pussies and just say kike and say spick and say... like, don't be scared to say any... Nothing should be off limits. There's no reason. Speaking of that, I'm going to get off this in a second, but... Speaking of that word, my friend Tyrone said I can use the N-word only around him. But it still feels weird. Like, it's still awkward because Tyrone is white. So it just... It just feels like regular racism, but if he's okay with it, then who am I to judge that? Here we go. Let's look at the old list here. Oh, shit. It's almost out. What's it been, like a minute and a half? Something like that. Brandon? I'm not old yet. I'm getting to the point where, like, you notice old isms. You ever catch yourself saying some shit your parents always say to you growing up? That'll make you feel old. That happened to me. There was this kid playing... like, in the middle of the street, and I couldn't help but say what my parents always said to me, so I said to the kid, you're my least favorite son. Cut your hair, you look like a chick. I might be done. Is this, have I done my time? Have I not?
You have one more?
One more joke? Let's do it, actually. Here we go. We've walked the fucking edge tonight, guys. What are we talking about? We're talking about fucking Nazis. That's about it. But other than that, you guys have been real cool about the edgy shit. So don't, like, bitch out right now, all right? Because this next bit, spoiler alert, it's about masturbation. It's dirty. This is a dirty joke. It's mostly for the guys, but the ladies can listen. You might learn something. Guys, we masturbated when we were very young, right? Like, real. Like, I don't want to put an awkward image in your head. But, Ned, how old were you the first time you masturbated? 11? See, there you go. Like 10, 11. Before you could come, right? Yeah. Way better time. Way better. Simpler. I feel the tension in the room right now. I'm finishing the goddamn joke. It was a better time. It was simpler. Like, not to get gross, it scared the shit out of me the first time I came. That is an event in a young man's life. I remember exactly when it was, where... Look, the same way they say everyone remembers the exact time and place they were when Kennedy was assassinated. Guys, we all remember the exact time and place we were when we first came. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was actually watching footage of the Kennedy assassination. And then, that's my jokes. Thanks.
Eli Sayers, have some Weezer, Eli.
Weezer!
That's enough of Weezer. Eli, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to be here.
David Lynch is the voice of the bartender on the Cleveland show.
Is he?
Yeah, it's very odd. That's all. Apparently, I like your racist jokes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I like to call them racial rather than racist.
Nope, they're racist. You just recorded an album full of racist jokes.
Oh, a lot of them. About half of the album.
How did it go?
Really great, because there were no black people.
That's good.
No, there were.
That's odd to do in the Chocolate City, D.C.
That's it. No, yeah. I love... actually, I can't do those jokes. I was nervous about doing... Like, usually those jokes don't work with white people. And in the black clubs, they do work a lot.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because...
white people are scared.
When you
to
think
laugh.
Of great comedy crowds, you think of Williamsburg, Brooklyn at
2 a.m. Oh, yeah, right.
That's what I like to do. I think, where can I go to find people that are uncomfortable and white? I come here.
Yeah, no judgment. There's no judgment in Williamsburg. Everyone's just open to everyone.
They're wearing clothes of teams they like because they're just open with it. Speaking of which, you're wearing... We got two walkers. Good job, Eli. Thanks a lot, buddy.
They left because I was done with my set.
That's right.
Nothing left to see here.
Yeah. You're wearing an Atlanta Braves shirt.
Love them.
Why?
I love the Atlanta Braves.
What was your... Did you grow up near Atlanta?
I grew up in Alabama.
Really?
Closest team, yeah.
Why did you move from Alabama to D.C.?
My dad got a job in Ohio, and then I went to college in Ohio before D.C.
Well, okay, why did you go from Ohio to D.C.?
A friend of mine was in the D.C. scene, or he lived in D.C. He told me that it was a good place to start comedy there, and had a place... Mainly, he had a place I could sleep for free. That was the big...
Was D.C. a good place for comedy?
Yes.
You are a liar.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I write for the city paper. I get to do in other stuff in BYT. And I wrote a piece about Tracy Morgan's recent rant about
right.
homosexuals and how he wanted to stab his son if he was gay. But there was no footage of this.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I looked for the footage.
It doesn't exist.
With Kramer, there was footage.
Exactly. So, like, Kramer is racist.
Kramer is off his fucking rocker.
Yeah, but Tracy Morgan, possibly homophobic, probably just not funny, though.
Yeah, I think he's probably a little bit ignorant and a little bit not that good at stand-up, but, like, I'm not going to throw the, like, he's just a horrible person card out there until I see it.
Absolutely. And the reason why I bring this up is you commented on the post.
Yeah.
Because I said it's the responsibility of hosts and specifically open mic hosts to tear comics down if they present homophobic, racist, or sexist material that actually isn't funny.
Right.
And you disagreed.
I disagreed with the extremity of it.
Why?
Because first of all, I think a host, it's fine for an older comic to explain to a younger comic that there's a difference between what they're doing and what the pros are doing. Because there's nothing worse than an inexperienced comic trying to do like what Louis C.K. does or Chris Rock does and just failing. Like, that's horrible.
Okay, but there are experienced comics that do racist, homophobic, and sexist material that are not like even a pass, but it's just accepted. That's like what they make their money on. That's still not cool.
It's not. If it's coming from a bad place, yeah.
Well, that's how it's racist, homophobic, or sexist.
Yeah.
So why not tear it down before it gets bigger?
Well, because I don't like... I mean, in an ideal world, every host would know that. Like, would have the be-all, end-all opinion on that. But a lot of experienced hosts don't know much, you know? Like, I don't like the idea of hosts being the police of what's up. I've had hosts and people tell me that my shit doesn't work, and they're wrong. Like, they've told me the same thing, what you're trying to say, and there are situations where the host does not know as much as the person that they think they're saying, you know, you shouldn't do this racial stuff.
But
too.
When they said it was wrong, why did they say it was wrong? Because it wasn't funny or because it was actually racist?
I used the word black and they got uncomfortable because they're, you know...
Well, they're
upper middle class white people who don't have much... Like, I have a lot of black friends excuse. Not a great excuse always, but I came from a very black area. It's like it kind of formed a lot of my adolescent way of seeing things. So that's what I'm going to talk about. And coming from there, where I would joke with my, like, black friends and, like, things were out in the open like that, it was like an upper-middle-class white dude who hasn't had that experience would hear me say certain things and have never seen me go to, like, Southeast D.C. Uh-huh. or Temple Hills, D.C. and crush with a black crowd. And they just get uncomfortable and say, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's not for you.
But they were they commenting on the joke or just the fact that you said black?
Well, the joke, but they were wrong because they thought that the joke didn't work because they got uncomfortable.
What was the joke?
Because they don't know anything. Well, you heard a couple tonight.
Okay, but none of that is racist.
What's that?
None of that was racist.
Yeah,
though.
That's what I'm saying. Hosts will think it is. Like, what you're saying is hosts need to start tearing down comics, especially newer comics, who are doing that. And my arguments are, A, the host is wrong a lot, and B, a newer comic... Most newer comics, when they start out, are scared as hell because it's one of the scariest things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go for the easy laugh. Shock.
Yes.
When I first started, there was a lot of cancer, a lot of AIDS. Same thing, except now I'm a little better at it.
Yeah.
But like, it's a natural part of growing as a comic.
But and that's completely fine. But usually the problem isn't with the new people at open mics.
Okay,
I found that the problem is the people that have been doing it 4 years and doing just hack shit. And saying the most sexist things because that's easy to do. I find that it's more in sexist humor than homophobic or racist.
Oh, yeah?
And these guys are playing clubs, and it feels like a scam, and they are essentially... I had a guy on my show.
All right.
And I tore him apart.
Who? I'm a
after the show. Because he was fucking sexist, and there's no way around it. And it's not... He said ho. Okay? He said ho as in a promiscuous woman. The crowd was confused because no one says ho.
All right.
And then he
Well, no, white people say ho.
Who? People that have social lives and girlfriends, they say ho.
What are you talking? Wait, hold on, what?
He used ho in the same way people will say slut or whore.
Okay.
You could say slut or whore or ho, that's fine. But you could tell it was from a place of just judgment and
and
being wrong. And this guy's been doing it for years. And he's got essentially his own little troupe that goes on tours, and he's doing open mics. He should be torn down. So I did.
All
and
right.
I think what we need to do is just tell comics, like, that's not funny. And not just go up to them and say, that's not funny. But as soon as they're done, after they perform, rip them apart on stage, not saying, like, this guy sucks, like I just did because that was hack shit. But referencing that and trying to make it funny. And that's all.
I mean, I know the kind of guy you're talking about. I don't think you can tear down someone like that.
Why?
Because their egos, they're going to do it no matter what. The most
then
you're
why
accomplish,
create a supportive room for that ego?
I don't want to support them. The most that's going to happen from that is they won't come to your show.
Fine.
Which is good. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
You don't want them on the show, by all means. But, I mean, they're only going to get so far. I mean, now and then someone like that really breaks through because they know that the masses want to hear that. But they're let them do the shitty B clubs. Let them do that because they're not going to change.
I hope it doesn't change. But
yeah, I'm kind of like... I'm just hesitant to, like, live in a world where anyone's really policing anything. Like, in my open mic experience, it's just so no holds barred.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
But if it's no holds barred, then as soon as it's over, the host should be able to say, that fucking sucked. It shouldn't be this weird supportive community, everyone's getting along, because it's not.
Do you think, I mean, do you think that the crowd should judge that?
No, because they won't. They just feel uncomfortable and don't do anything.
I mean,
and the comic
say,
will think
the
they
host,
just, the crowd
if the host
can
be
me.
Funny about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a host can, when you say tear down, you give the impression of just the guy just going up there and being on a self-righteous tirade.
No, absolutely not. The whole point is to get laughs.
Okay, I think
unlike this interview, I apologize.
But no, this is, yeah, I'm sorry.
This is becoming a What the Fuck podcast, and I apologize again. But it's, okay, another part in the article is you said, I mentioned that Eddie Murphy had a lot of homophobic shit in Raw and Delirious. And my premise is none of it holds up.
All right.
There actually weren't any jokes when he did this homophobic material. And you said those are classic albums.
The albums are. I'm not going to necessarily defend those bits. I guess I thought you were writing off his whole performance.
Absolutely not.
Oh, if you're just talking about the homophobic. Yeah, he was just being homophobic.
He was being homophobic and completely self-righteous.
He was being pretty endearing about it, though.
Really?
As far as homophobes go.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie's got a nice smile.
He does have a nice smile. That's a racist joke. you're funny, Eli.
I was funny a few minutes ago when... Now it's just interesting. It's pretty interesting.
I did learn something about this. I really should have said at the end, like, really what matters is it has to be funny. Tear people down, but be funny about it.
I think I'm for what you're saying, but I wouldn't, like, say it, like, as in, like, oh, yeah, you got to tear them down. Like, if the host has a good line to kind of sum up everything that went wrong with that set, do it. But too often I've seen hosts go up and just be bullies, I guess, or just put someone down because they can get a cheap laugh, and I'm very against that. And I'm very against people. I've also seen hosts and other comics go up on stage, and then because they didn't like something struck a nerve with them, they just have to go up there and say, it's like, oh, well, that's blah, blah, blah. It's like,
oh, completely.
Fucking shut up. It's an open mic. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can go home on Netflix streaming. You can find all the good shit that made it to the top. You won't have to listen to all this. But if you're going to an open mic, you're going to hear a lot of shit.
You hope. Yeah, but it's there's still.
You pointed
a lot
out
of it.
Patrice O'Neill's what a great fucking special. He does everything right. In
exactly.
It. Go home, watch Patrice O'Neill. Don't
walk,
stomach the open
something
mics.
The elephants. What is it?
Elephant in the room, right?
Elephant in the room. Yes, that is amazing. I think that this got so WTF.
I think they're not laughing or entertained.
No, they're
per
not.
Se, but I think it's an interesting discussion, right?
Yeah.
I probably should have looked at you guys a little bit more.
No, but you did stuff tonight that could have been construed as sexist or racist.
If written on paper,
but it's
it would
not
all look
exactly.
Terrible.
And yeah. I think that's the point.
It's kind of indefinable, I guess, what it is that separates a homophobic or racist one. But when you watch it, you kind of
know.
You
just
know. Yeah, you just know.
Which is the worst? Just
yeah,
say
it's,
that.
It's terrible, but it's the truth.
Let's end this interview.
Hey, I'm sorry I ruined the show, guys.
No,
this
you've
been.
God forbid we actually talk about something.
No,
fuck
this
you.
Was this is substantial, guys.
You think Ned was better? Come on, you were fucking. Ned was awful. I'm making eye contact with Ned right now. Can I stay at your house tonight?
I think it was a great segment.
Fantastic. He said yes. We're going to ask you a question from the Kids Will Get Questions. I need you to pick a number between 160 and 235.
What?
Pick a number between 160. And 235.
Still thinking about race and important shit, dude. You can't just... Okay, 160.
Fantastic. Race and important shit.
Race is pretty fucking... Probably the most important thing.
What's the most important thing?
Race.
I say cuddling.
I'd say whether hosts should tear people down or not is the most important thing in the world.
You have the best life if that's the most important thing in the world. 160. Mark, would you give your teacher for her overall performance? For her patience? For her friendliness? for her handwriting. Once again...
Is that even a sentence? Jesus Christ, what?
What mark would you give your teacher for her overall performance, for her patience, for her friendliness, for her handwriting?
Which teacher? Miss Calvert in third grade was an angel. Miss Hayward in sixth grade was a cunt. Which one?
So, like, A and F?
A and C for cunt.
A and C for cunt. How about the patience?
What patience?
Angel and cunt for her friendliness. So that's self-description. How about handwriting?
I didn't pay attention in class, much like I'm not paying attention right now.
We've noticed.
Sorry, dude. We went from some real deep shit to some really trivial shit.
I think handwriting is quite important.
I think it is, too. I think that you can tell by the way someone writes on the chalkboard whether what they write is racist or whether the racist statement is... It's all in, like, whether it's cursive.
How about instead of tearing down comics at an open mic, you put a chalkboard up and you give them grades?
There you go. There you fucking go.
That's a pointless exercise. Eli, where can people find you?
Facebook. Or Eli Sayers.
Does the album have a release date yet or no?
No, I'm still kind of working on it. I'm hoping like a website and all that stuff that I should have had a couple years ago will coincide with.
So you're like
that.
Every other comic.
Yeah, don't have my shit together.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep, good job with that. You're funny. Good job.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of Weezer?
Do it.
Coming up is Allison Clancy from
now.
Electric Child and Huff This. Thanks, everybody.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
This bed heart, I'm Think about all the teenagers of
Nice. This one's a little different, a little more moody. I mean, they're all moody.
Will you come close?
223. Woo! Fuck this.
Bum 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 bum. You do these and pack your packs yet? Yeah.